Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Lean, finely textured beef sounds pretty tasty, right? But when you hear the same thing referred to as pink slime, it begins to lose its appeal. The food additive, also known as boneless lean beef trimmings, has blown up on social media recently and has sparked consumer outcry, enough of an outcry that New York City schools and school districts around the country have started phasing it out of school lunches. McDonald's says it will do the same. In the 2008 documentary Food, Inc., co-producer Eric Schlosser took viewers inside the industrial process behind what we're calling pink slime. He is also the author of Fast Food Nation, which was just reissued, and he joins us now. Eric Schlosser, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning.
So what is pink slime, or lean, finely textured beef, as the industry would like to call it?
Well, I think the most accurate description and the most factual one would be centrifuge-separated ammonia-treated, reconstituted beef. So that's not a pejorative. That's not, it's just really what it is. It's the leftover scraps at a slaughterhouse that have small bits of muscle tissue still on them, and they put them into gigantic centrifuges that separate the fat from the meat. And what comes out at the end is a paste, pink paste, that is then molded into frozen bricks that eventually get ground up with real meat, with real muscle tissue. And it's not necessarily a dangerous thing. It's just sort of disgusting. And I think it's a mislabeling. I think it's a fraudulent big business practice to be selling it as ground beef.
Did you just say it's not dangerous, it's just disgusting?
Well, I mean, if it's properly cooked, you know, whatever pathogens are in there are going to be killed by the cooking process. These scraps of meat do come from the parts of the animal most likely to be contaminated near the hide. And, I would prefer not to have added ammonia in my meat. So I think, you know, the main issue here is not necessarily a food safety issue. The main issue here, I think, are the business practices of the meatpacking industry. And that's what I really tried to expose a decade ago in Fast Food Nation. And I just want to give a shout-out to some reporters who have done just a terrific, terrific job with this story. I mean, the first is Robbie Kenner, who in Food, Inc. brought you into this plant that looks like something out of the Matrix. I mean, you can't believe that hamburgers would come out of this bizarre technological facility. Michael Moss of the New York Times, who a couple of years ago won a Pulitzer Prize for showing that there were real concerns about this stuff being sold as ground beef. Jim Avila at ABC, Helena Bottmiller at Food Safety News, and a mother, Bettina Siegel, who's got a blog called The Lunch Tray, who really petitioned the USDA. And on the one hand, I'm so discouraged by the meatpacking industry and its unethical practices, but on the other hand, you've really got some terrific journalists right now who are willing to stand up to the industry and at great risk. I mean, the industry is really behaving like bullies. I don't know if you saw the governors that they've enlisted and the government officials that they've enlisted to defend this product. Anyway, so that's where things stand.
And listeners, if you have comments or questions about the lean, finely textured beef product known affectionately as pink slime, your calls are invited. 212-433-WNYC for Eric Schlosser from Food, Inc. and Fast Food Nation, which was just reissued. 212-433-9692 or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So I knew about the most of the media you just listed, and certainly we've spoken before. But this blew up on social media recently, even though you and the others have been talking about this for years. And it seems that America is suddenly outraged because of the gross name and the picture that became a social media meme, and because we found out it was being used in the school lunch program.
Yeah.
Why now?
It's just, these things have their own life. And it's just reached a critical mass. And I think it's terrific that you're doing this story, but what I really think your listeners need to think about is the industry as a whole, this modern industrial meat industry, because this episode is just a symptom of a much bigger problem. This is an industry that fundamentally has been showing contempt towards the animals that it processes, towards the workers in these plants, towards consumers. And even if you don't eat meat, you're now at risk from the antibiotic-resistant superbugs because of how much antibiotics they're using. I don't know if you saw today's Nicholas Kristof piece about the feeding of feathers and feather meal to poultry because it's such a cheap feed. But there, you know, a study of this feed found incredible antibiotic resistance, antibiotic residue in it, as well as unexpected products like Benadryl and Prozac in the poultry feed to mellow the, you know, to mellow the birds out. So this is just, this pink slime story is just one more way to look beneath the surface and look at how this industry is truly operating.
Although I wonder if it's going to have the opposite effect, because school districts are pulling pink slime out of their lunch menus. But there is not the critique that you're leveling against the whole meat industry. Other kinds of beef, other kinds of poultry are still going to be sold and distributed in school lunches, and people are going to pat themselves on the back for having gotten out the pink slime, which you say isn't even really a health risk as far as we know.
Well, don't despair. I think this is a process of increasing people's awareness. And by the way, I think it should be pulled from the school lunch program. It's an inferior meat. And if you look at the USDA school lunch program for the last 10 years, and I wrote about it in Fast Food Nation, it's used as a dumping ground by the industry for meat that they often can't sell elsewhere. So we should be serving the highest quality meat possible to children, or they just shouldn't be buying meat at all. I don't think there's
But when you say it's a lower quality meat, is boneless beef trimmings really worse than, say, hot dogs or chicken nuggets? And aren't the standards in industrial food production already pretty low, as you've been pointing out for years? And if this is at least lean, maybe it's not any unhealthier for kids than a fattier burger that they may get.
Well, you know, I disagree with you. And you know, the Secretary of Agriculture the other day, in defending this product, said that it's essential for the anti-obesity campaign, which is just absolutely absurd. I mean, the real question, I think, as you imply, is should we be feeding ground beef to children? When you talk about food safety concerns, children are by far the most vulnerable to these dangerous pathogens, children, the elderly, the immunosuppressed. So if there is a meat that's more likely to be contaminated than other meat, which this, you know, centrifuge, separated, ammonia-treated, reconstituted beef is, then why would you sell it to children? One of the most outrageous things a few years ago during the Bush administration was the USDA bought 77 million pounds of spent hen meat to serve to children in the school lunch program. Now, spent hen meat is meat that even KFC, Campbell's Soup, and the fast food chains won't buy because spent hens are so burnt out and in such terrible shape and antibiotic riddled. But, you know, our government was buying it to feed the kids. So I think, I want to be clear, I don't think that this reconstituted beef should be sold to kids. You bring up hot dogs. You know, hot dogs are full of, you know, all kinds of reconstituted meat. But in this case, you have a case of mislabeling. It's as though they were taking hot dog meat and reforming it and selling it as filet and making millions and millions of dollars doing it.
Before we go to our totally packed phone line, starting with Richard in Jackson Heights, who's a retired butcher, one more pushback, because there's this whole foodie nose-to-tail movement that's been going on. We're now told it's better to use all parts of the animal. It's more sustainable. The beef trimmings that make up this additive would otherwise go to waste. So couldn't one argue that it's more sustainable to use all parts of the cow?
Well, that's exactly what the industry is arguing. And economically, I think you're absolutely right. But if you you just have to see the images of the factory that it's coming out of. It's very different from a butcher making sausage out of leftover scraps of meat. You know, these plants that put out 1 million pounds of ground beef a day are grinding together thousands of cattle. I mean, the typical fast food hamburger has pieces of more than 1,000 different cattle in it. So this is a new product. It's an industrial product, and it does have different health consequences and potentially food safety consequences when you take that many animals and mix it together. So primarily my argument against this stuff is not it's laden with pathogens, but you can't dismiss that entirely as a concern. I think it's just, you know, the real slime here, I think, is the operating practices of this industry and its corruption of our political process.
Eric Schlosser, author of Fast Food Nation, and Richard in Jackson Heights. You're on WNYC. Richard, thank you for calling. Richard. Richard, can you? Oh, Richard hung up. Okay, too bad. We don't have retired butchers calling every day. Any other retired butchers? Any other working butchers call? Do you distribute meat to your customers while you're listening to the Brian Lehrer Show? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Selena in Brooklyn can't believe her ears, right, Selena?
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to know, good morning, if your guest said a while ago that they're giving Prozac to poultry. Is that true? Are they giving Prozac to poultry?
If you read the New York Times today, the columnist Nicholas Kristof has a terrific piece on a study that was just done of the feed that was being given to poultry in this country. And they found traces of Benadryl, which is an antihistamine that makes you sleepy, and they found traces of Prozac, and clearly somebody has been giving those drugs to chicken to mellow them out in the terribly overcrowded conditions in which they're raised.
And is that just cruel for the chickens, or do you think that we then get Prozac into our human systems in a way that's threatening?
Well, this was not a study of the meat. This was a study of the feed. And who knows? But I think, you know, it's an insane idea to be giving these drugs to poultry. In the same way, it's insane that we're using 80% of our antibiotics in livestock operations because we've crowded these animals so closely together that they spread disease easily, and also because these antibiotics make them grow just a little bit faster. I mean, and this is all hidden from view. And back to the pink slime story, that's one of the reasons why I think it's so good this thing has been unfolding. It's just one more kind of lifting of the veil to show us how the system operates.
Selena, do you have kids in the public schools by any chance?
Well, I will be soon. I don't know what to eat now. That is the problem.
How would you feel about school lunches going to all vegetarian?
The thing is, I eat meat. I eat fish and meat and poultry. I don't think that they should be denied that.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be safe. Whereas even if you buy it at a restaurant, if you eat meat at a restaurant or at school and they give it to them at school, the point is now you don't know what to eat.
That's
the problem.
That's right. Thank you very much for your call. And, you know, I raised the vegetarian question, and there we see a concerned mom who wouldn't rush to the idea of all vegetarian school meals. But we were kicking around the idea in the office yesterday of, gee, maybe they could avoid this whole meat industry and all the yucky things that they do by going to vegetarian meals in the public schools as kind of a standard. And this is not to say people should just eat vegetarian all the time, but then they could save their meat and, you know, other high-fat food budgets for dinner at home and maybe even breakfast at home. And it's maybe a good idea to have protein. What you think? Anybody ever propose that, or do you think it would never fly because poor kids who get meals at school maybe depend on that for their main protein of the day?
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting idea. I think the real issue is what's the quality of the food that we're feeding to these kids, and why is it such a huge effort to get high quality food into the schools? I mean, the Farm Bill provides multiple billions of dollars in subsidies to major corporate farmers in the Midwest who are producing basically livestock feed and ethanol. Why is it so hard to get government to serve decent food to to children in schools. So it's outrageous. And personally, I think kids would be better off with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich than with this, you know, centrifuge-separated, ammonia-treated, reconstituted beef.
What? So, peanut products in schools? We can't have that.
Okay. Well, I'm not a school lunch administrator, but the basic issue of spending money on our children for their nutrition seems pretty basic. Right.
And I don't mean to make light at all of kids with nut allergies. I actually have a kid with nut allergies in a public school right now. Mm. But nevertheless, it's almost everywhere you look, there's going to be some questions about something. Melanie and Wyckoff, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to make the comment that I think no one remarked, except for your guest, that the cost of producing meat in a factory farm setting is overwhelmingly greater than raising cows in a pasture-centered environment. I mean, they say it's cheaper. Yes, you pack all the animals in. It's cheaper to produce. But the amount of water and the amount of antibiotics and the amount of resources that we need to fuel these factory farms costs more in the end, I think, than just raising them in the setting that they were supposed to be raised in to begin with. So I think in the end, the industry is costing more. You know, yes, the meat is cheaper, but the industry is costing more for the environment and costing more for money in general, for monetary reasons.
Melanie, thank you very much. And this comes back to the question of the subsidies, I think. We may choose to eat meat or choose not to eat meat or have our opinions of the factory farming industry, but probably most people don't realize where our taxpayer dollars go with respect to this.
Huge subsidies every year, and most of the grain produced in the United States is used as livestock feed in these factory farms. So when you have subsidized grain, you're basically subsidizing the feed for this industry. And one of the things that really cracks me up about this industry is they are overwhelmingly donating their money to the right wing of the Republican Party. Karl Rove was the major speaker this past year at the beef industry gathering. And they're all against big government. But at the same time, they love big government. They love these subsidies. As I said earlier, the USDA school lunch program is basically a dumping ground for meat they often can't sell elsewhere. And to me, it's a textbook study in the corruption of government officials and government agencies by private interests.
One more call. Christine in Hawthorne. You're on WNYC. Hi, Christine.
Hi. My question is that when shopping in a place like Whole Foods, there are signs all around the meat counter saying that the meat is not factory farmed. In essence, that's what they say. And I wonder, as a consumer, how can I look into that and make sure that it's true?
I would say that you ask at the store where it came from, the company, and then do more investigation on your own online. And this is part of being an educated consumer. It's just not believing the label and checking it out for yourself.
Okay.
Safe to say, Eric, if it's really cheap, it's factory farmed, and if it's not, it's not, or not so easy.
I think it's not so easy. I think you've got to ask questions. I mean, in this case, this, you know, centrifuge separated ammonia treated reconstituted beef was being sold as ground beef, a more expensive product. I mean, you mentioned hot dogs. You know, when you get a hot dog, you don't expect that you're getting necessarily the highest quality meat inside that hot dog. But in this case, they were selling an inferior product as a higher quality product. So you really do need to read the label, but also do some research and buy from your local butcher.
And there's our conversation today on the centrifuge-separated, ammonia-treated, reconstituted meat, affectionately known as Pink Slime, with Eric Schlosser, author of the just-reissued Fast Food Nation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the Financial Times chief U.S. columnist, Edward Luce, originally from Britain. He thinks he can see more clearly as an outsider some of what's broken about America. We'll see if he's got a new Tocqueville take in a minute.